podcast, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hope your bike ride, hope your gym session, hope your walking the dog is going well. Just want to say May 5th, upcoming soon, May 5th, I am dropping a very, very, very big project. Please check out all my social media, specifically Twitter and Instagram, where I'm pontificating, previewing, flirting, but I'll put it this way. Please make sure you go to GaryVaynerchuk.com and read the article about crypto wallets. Make sure that you have a MetaMask with at least one Ethereum, one ETH in your wallet, because this project is 100% built to make sure my OG community benefits from, and I will be spending the next 45 years to make sure that the investment you've made into the project is a fruitful one, not to mention the way I actually built it, what comes along with the NFT. So hope you check that out. Please be prepared. May 5th. If you don't have a half an ETH, you know, AKA $1,000, like start selling things in your basement, start selling some other things. May 5th, I'm telling you.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
My question for you, Gary, is out of all the experiences that you've had as an entrepreneur, considering your successes and your failures,
yes,
what is one thing that you've learned that you wish you understood when you just started out?
That my biggest vulnerability was that I value positivity so much that it skewed too far, and I was unable to give critical feedback often enough, which led me to not being as candorous as is required to be a leader, which led to people for a good 20 years of my career be surprised, shocked, or appalled by being fired because I didn't give a good enough feedback during the process, and that my kindness and compassion was my strength, but also was my macro strength, but was a micro vulnerability and needed to be rounded out with candor and feedback. And to this day, as I sit in front of you right now, it continues to be a weakness of mine because I'm optimistic. I put it all on my shoulders. If Dustin Wiggins is not performing, I'm like, okay, I've got to motivate him. I'll figure out a different thing. I'll move his department. I'll find another way. Instead of saying like, Dustin, you're just not putting in the effort of the same people around you and you're being exposed because this is a hardcore place. Or Dustin, like you're insecure, which is making you manage people in a way that, you know, really isn't like up to stuff here. And I'm really, really concerned about it. And so, you know, that is a real thing that I worry about, that I need to be more candorous.
That's cool. Can I give you a chance to do that to me right now?
I can. Well, what's funny is it's why I crush on Q&A. It's because I'm very candorous when I do this, because you're an acquaintance or a friend. When somebody works for me, they're my family, and something broke down over the 20 years there. But listen, the reason I can talk about it now is I've gotten to a much better place, much better place. Real quick. This is going to be a learning for everybody. Watch this. I'm sorry to interrupt, Dustin. Whoever's woman or manning my Instagram live on my team right now, please bring in somebody into like the queue, like to FaceTime with. What team, what that's going to do is it's going to push back a push notification for everybody that follows me. And the 1,200 people that are watching on Instagram right now will bump up to 4,000 to 5,000. Do that every 10 minutes. Can you please confirm on the WhatsApp that whoever on Instagram heard me on that and can do that? The rebump will help. The rebump will help. Anyway, Dustin, go ahead.
All right. So for that candid feedback, for about a decade, I've had a very deep passion for being an entrepreneur. And I've been shooting everywhere. Like I've owned a small dry cleaning business, publishing company. I've done e-commerce, private labeling, a little bit of manufacturing, just crazy all over the place. And I love everything. I'm like so interested in everything, but even now I own about a year ago, I invested in a travel franchise, which is kind of a rough time right now. But I'm just all over the place. My social media content, I love your book, Crushing It, is like my YouTube channel. You could watch my kids shaving, me giving a pitch on some business, and then, you know, some other crazy thing about a posture language or something. So I'm just like all over the place. And I just feel like I can never really be truly successful at anything because I'm just too busy doing everything. What advice could you give to me to focus?
Have you, I don't know if it's focus. Let's dig here and we'll go Candorous. Have you ever had a successful business? Like, and when you say yes or kind of, tell me how successful. Let's really break it down. Let me start over. I apologize. What is the most successfully financial business you've ever had during this run? And it's okay, brother. Listen to me good. This is real talk. This is like, we're turning Corona into like the, we're putting fucking limes. We're putting fucking happy limes in this coronavirus.
So I've not done nothing.
Tell me the truth.
Nothing but bootstrapping for me. I haven't gone into excessive amounts of debt except for when I bought the dry cleaning business. And Gary, that was tough, man. Like, you know how to, small business, you know, like 16 hours a day working until my hands were bleeding. Like, that was insane.
When was that?
That was 2014. Just got back from Afghanistan. I was in the National Guard. Couldn't find a job when I got back. I mean, I did. I was a server for $2.10 an hour at some Utah restaurant, and then a 911 dispatcher for like $8 an hour. So I was doing those two things. I was like, I can't do this. So I bought a dry cleaning business, knew nothing about it. I would say that was my most...
Went into debt?
Oh, significant amounts of debt. Yeah, I had a big house, nice, well, the business, and it was just insane, right? My student loans, my wife's student loans, it was wild. And
How were you able to get, were you able to borrow money because of your status in the National Guard or because people were just lending money in 2014 or why?
Yeah, I got it was my wife's father who owned several businesses was able to lend me some money
to
do it.
I respect that. Amazing.
For a year in that business, I was nonstop living there and, I bought it wrong. I didn't notice. I didn't know what to look for on a P&L statement. I didn't know why there was no labor costs on there. Didn't even think to look and to ask, but the dude had his entire family in there working and I was just by myself.
So it seemed more profitable than it was because there's no labor costs in there because he had free labor from family. Understood.
So I had to hire people. All my profit that I was making just went to fix broken machines, hire people. And it was just insane. But I did grow the business. The revenue increased about 35% in that first year.
Why?
I started doing, implementing automations, like listening to advice from people like you. The E-Myth was a huge book for me that helped me get through that. But then like, because I wasn't paying for my family, I was going into excessive amounts of debt on my credit card. It was just insane. And then I got an offer from the government to go serve as a teacher, a full-time military position, had to take it.
Understood.
Sold the business, sold my house, made enough money to pay off all of my debt, including my wife's loans, my wife's student loans and my student loans, all the credit card debt, the business, everything. So I went from tons of debt, mountains of debt to zero. I didn't own anything, but I didn't owe anything. And that would be my most successful, I think.
How'd you get the house?
Just regular loan, conventional loan.
Right. So back in the day, you had some money, you got a loan, and the house went up during the period of time that you bought it.
Oh, big time! Yeah. So I made money off the house too.
So the house? Did you make money on the cleaners, or you lose on the cleaners but made money on the house? And the house covered everything.
Yeah, the house pretty much covered everything on that.
That's what I figured, and that's why I wanted to ask that question. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think. So, first of all, I really like you. And I mean that. Let me be honest here. I think something I've been thinking a lot about is likability and just like general vibe. I've been thinking a lot about this, so I just wanted to share that. So, what's your question? Do I think you're an entrepreneur, or how should I think about like focus, brother? Focus is a misnomer. People that blame lack of focus for why they're not successful entrepreneurs are trying to blame a micro thing for a macro thing. I'm the least fucking focused person I know. and so are some of the most successful entrepreneurs I know. Now, she and him tend to be focused enough on one core thing that affords them to be lack of focus. But I'm also don't focus and I'm successful. I've a co-founder and incubated and on the board of a company called Resy, and Resy goes and sells for 9 figures to Amex after 5 years. I'm trying to build Wine Text and Yummy Text. If you drink wine or eat gourmet food, you better sign up, Dustin. I'm trying to build Wine Text and Yummy Text for my dad. That's good. I'm doing baseball card and sports card hustle. That. I'm producing content. That. I'm public speaking. That. I'm the CEO of a 1,000-person company, which is a 1,000-person holding company. So it not only is VaynerMedia, but it's Pure Wow and 137 PM. It's the Sasha Group. It's Vayner Speakers. It's Tracer. Now, why can I do it? Because in Tracer, Jeff Nicholson and Leighton Welch, I don't do anything for that business, like, except be there for them because they're capable. Same with Zach McNamara and Vayner Speakers. Maybe I'm the biggest speaker on there, but Zach and Steve, they run that shit, right?
Gary, James Rossini, yep.
You know, so like, but I'm helter skelter like crazy, but I'm just great at being an entrepreneur because I'm good at it. Like, it's what I'm good at, you know? Mm. And the reality is just because you took a huge L on the cleaning thing or a solid L, that doesn't scare me because you obviously didn't grow up being a businessman. And so even if you did, I would argue not seeing that the P&L didn't have employees on it is a rookie mistake that even people that were meant to go on and build good businesses and growing a business 35% on the consumer side is a big deal. I would argue it's harder to build a business 35% growth than it is to learn the learnings of the boring shit of P&L, taxes, things of that nature. So there's a lot of interesting elements here.
Yeah, I grew up in a trailer park in North Vegas. Like, I did not have
No. There's an unlimited amount of people that grew up in trailer parks that went on and built $100 million companies.
Oh, yeah. I got the story.
It's not about the success. But brother, they had the natural talent. Mm-hmm. In the same way that you have super pretty eyes and that's what you were given, is the same way that some people were given entrepreneurship. In the same way that you were given the bravery to defend this country, like, and I'm so grateful for that. And there's a lot of people
Thanks
that don't have
support,
the stuff.
Man.
And honestly, Dustin, I want you to hear this. I don't know, you know, I think if I was drafted, I would go. But I don't know if I have the DNA of like raising my hand to go, right? I would always go if I got drafted. I wouldn't have been one of those people in the 70s that went to Canada or faked a knee injury. I would have fucking gone. But I wouldn't have been fucking raised my hand and gone yet. Like, that's not in my stomach, but it's in your
Gary,
stomach.
One of the reasons I even signed up for the military was I read an article in Forbes that talked about these leaders in these Fortune 500 companies were veterans. Prior military service, I was like, all right, there must be something there that I can
I'm worried that the kid that grows up in a trailer park puts money on a pedestal and puts business on a pedestal because they didn't have it.
Yeah, you're probably right, man.
I know I'm right. The amount of people that don't come for money that then put money on a pedestal versus, for example, not coming for money, but it was my calling. I didn't know anything else, brother. Mm. At 5 years old, 6 years old, I didn't know business existed when I was pulling flowers out of yards and selling it. I didn't know business. At 6 years old as an immigrant in a Russian family, I didn't know that business existed when I started a lemonade stand. I'm not even sure I understood business existed when I was doing baseball cards. It was my calling. I was like, I always think of business for me, like, you know, those light things that those zapping light things that sit outside in people's porches. So
yeah, absolutely.
What are they called? Like Zapper, whatever the fuck they are. Those lights, that to me is business. And I'm like a little fucking ladybug or a fly or a wasp just flying right into it. There was no other option. It wasn't because it was a reaction to my financial status. I wasn't sitting in a trailer park at 11 saying, I'm gonna get out of here. It's money, money, money. I'm never gonna fucking worry about next paycheck or worry of running out of gas. A lot of people put money on a pedestal out of dire situations, which gives them a bad relationship with the game of entrepreneurship because they're trying to use the game to give them money. They're not respecting and loving the game for the fucking game.
You're right. You're totally right. And I had this realization recently because I've gone through dozens of failures. And I think this is why I failed, to be honest with you, because I put money as the focus, not serving others.
And that, and brother, serving yourself. Like, I love my fucking game. Like, I love it right now. I love that I'm gonna hang up in an hour and 7 minutes and go into a finance call and try to figure out some sort of thing with snacks or the security guards at Long Island City or travel expenses, because I have to save every job to the best of my ability. And then I'm gonna have to go into next week or the week after and have the really tough process of going through every employee and realizing that, I mean, we had 7 to 10 employees that were on the being let go block a week before Corona, and some of them, like, we just didn't get around to it. It was gonna be the next week, and you know, and like, what do I do with them, right? Like those are people that are underperforming, that are detrimental to our business. But right now, even though the counsel I'm getting, which is proper from my leadership, which is like, look, we're gonna have to still make those moves. This is the new normal. I'm struggling with doing that during this time. But at the same token, then that makes people that are crushing it vulnerable if this is prolonged. That's fucking, you know what a rock in a hard place is? That.
Yeah, that's insane. Well,
but guess what? I love it, because that's my response.
It's exciting. It's
exciting, not because I'm in control. It's exciting because I don't know anything other than being accountable, being a leader, put it on my back. I got this, guys. I got this, gals. Like, that's who I am in business. I'm not sure that I'm that guy when it's going into enemy territory in Afghanistan. I don't know if I'm that guy. I don't think I'm the, I got this guy, I got these gals. Like, I don't think I'm that. I don't think I'm, I got this guys, I got this gals when the shed breaks during a tornado and we have to rebuild it. I don't want to fucking build a shed in the fucking, you know, in the backyard. Like, you know, like, I don't, you know, I, you know, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm not, but I am an entrepreneur. And during this period right now, we're about to find out who is and isn't. And I can promise you right now, in one man's point of view, an entrepreneur is not going to be the entrepreneur that I define when she or he does it strictly for the money. And a lot of people do it for the money. And a lot of them do it because they didn't grow up with it. A lot of them do it because they're insecure and they did grow up with it. They need it to continue their fucking reputation. I do it for the fucking game. And you need to figure out what you like. And I would argue that it's servicing me, let alone servicing people. I don't think it's, the way your sentence was described was very altruistic and very noble, but I don't believe in that. I believe that fucking entrepreneurship is serving me. It is my oxygen. It is the blood that runs through me. I am built for it. And I feel like right now, entrepreneurship's on such a pedestal that a lot of people who are numbers, Dustin, I promise you right now, just even spending a little time with you, you'd be a really good number 7 with me. You'd be a really good number 7 with me. Do you know what I mean? And right now, a lot of people who are number 7s want to be number 1s because it's cool, or they want the fucking money and they're going to get caught. And I think you've continued to get caught. And I think you need to have that conversation with yourself. Or find something that you love so much and then build a business model on top of it. Have you read Crush It?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that book.
Go read it right now. Go read it.
Okay.
Because what I wrote in 2008.
I haven't implemented a lot of it. Like, I'm not posting daily because I'm all over the place and I don't feel like, I don't know.
By the way, being all over the place, Dustin, that's not true. Being all over the place is this is back to, for everybody out there right now who's blaming, I'm all over the place, I have too many interests, there's too many ideas, I'm all over, you're fucking full of shit. Because okay. Dustin, if you're all over the place, that means you have more shit to post about.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Dustin, you're not in a creator's mindset. You're not taking a screenshot of this right now and then posting it on Instagram. You're gonna do it now, I'm watching your eyes. But like, you're not in a creator mindset. You're not in the mindset of a creator that I try to get Crush It into, which is right now you take a screenshot of this and this becomes a great Instagram post where you let your whole heart out and you write a fucking manifesto underneath this picture and say, look, Gary V fucking gave me a, you know how some people get a back readjustment? Gary just gave me an entrepreneurial mental adjustment. I've got to take a step back and write your fucking heart out. That's going to be your most successful Facebook and Instagram post. And by the way, when you're all over the place, you're golfing, you're picking up coffee, you're talking to your wife, you're fucking like this, you're gonna be like, you walk by cleaners and take a photo. You could create content all day long. Crush It is not about posting all day long, though that is part of it. Crush It is about, hey, if you love skiing, hey, if you love tea, hey, if you love the Yankees, you have to start making content around that, and then you can layer business on top of it. You love the Yankees? Like, everybody who's home right now fucking stuck. Start a podcast, a YouTube show, and an Instagram around your favorite thing. Make videos about, if you love an NFL team, you're set. There's free agency, there's things to talk about. Become your local sportscaster. Take your hot takes, post. And then after a year of that, maybe you get to a place where somebody wants to sponsor your Yankees podcast, the Yankee Shop, for $2,500 a month. And you start building, you start building. It's about building a business around something that makes you happy, not the business that you think is gonna make you the most money. Do you know why everybody's into cryptocurrency and cannabis and social media and real estate and Wall Street selling money. Yep. And when you make money the goal, you become fucking vulnerable mentally. You become vulnerable fucking mentally. I know fucking unlimited people that fucking went into something, actually made the money, but they fucking hate it. And 3 years, at first they needed the money, but 3 years in, now they've got the money and now it's fucking handcuffs because they need the money because now they've started spending it. People who don't have anything, when they get money, then they start buying dumb shit. Right?
You're right.
Because that's part of the whole equation of the psychology of not coming from anything and getting money. They want the money not for stability and peace of mind. They want the money for the BMW that they saw the rich people owned when they walked across the highway from the trailer park to go to the mall. And they're like, one day I'm going to have one of those. They put fucking things on a pedestal. Their insecurities of their status is driving them. And that's what and plenty of people can be successful through deep insecurity, but they're not happy fucking people. Let there be no fucking confusion on this Tea with Gary Vee. I'm not talking about successful entrepreneurship. I'm talking successful life, happiness.
Absolutely, yep, happiness. I agree with you. 100%, Gary. And you're a beast, Gary. Thank you for the daily grind and all the awesome content you put out.
Rewatch this. Rewatch this.
I will.
Rewatch this, have this conversation with you. If you're gonna start another business, build it around the thing that is your number one hobby or your number one curiosity or your number one interest. I talk a lot about Yankees. I would also talk about, like, if you wish you were a cook, let's talk about something else I've never talked about. I just thought of it. Or the journey. I think an incredible podcast, YouTube series, and Instagram content and TikTok for you would be the journey of becoming a chef with Dustin Wiggins. Hey everybody, I'm gonna start role playing. I'm using the corona to really go deeper. Ready? I'm gonna role play. Here's your first video. Yeah. Let's make pretend you wanted to be a chef. This is for everybody, not necessarily maybe you, and then maybe I'll ask you what your favorite thing is. Hey everybody, it's Dustin Wiggins. I'm starting this new show. Big shout out to Gary Vee for finally pushing me to do this. I'm starting this new show called The Journey of Becoming a Chef with me, Dustin Wiggins. In this show, in all my content on social, you'll be seeing me trying to become a chef. After this chance encounter with Gary Vee on live stream a couple weeks ago, he encouraged me and I realized I really want to be a cook. Now, let me start by saying this. The reason it's called The Journey of Becoming a Chef is I might not succeed. I might not be great at cooking. But what you're gonna see in today's episode, first I'm gonna tell you a little bit about me, about how I grew up in a trailer park, how I went to Afghanistan, how I failed in a laundromat, where I am in my life. But what this show is really gonna be about is, like, literally you, the world, and I know right now there's only four of you watching, thanks for my family and, like, my father-in-law and, like, my two friends, but soon and hopefully this will be bigger. This is gonna be the journey of me becoming a chef. You're gonna literally watch me watch YouTube videos and learn how to slice with a sharp knife, and I'm sure I'm gonna cut my finger and bleed. You're gonna watch as I taste things I've never tasted before, like, what the fuck is foie gras and escargot? This is going to be me trying to become a chef. I hope you enjoy it. Each week I'll answer a couple of questions about you going through, what journey you're going through. I'll have a tip of the day. Once a week I'm going to try to put out a recipe. I'm sure they're going to suck at first, but this is going to be one of the great journeys. Now let me transition to who I am. I was born in a trailer park. That, Dustin, that is for you and everybody else. There's two ways to go about this. There's no excuse for anybody to not start a podcast, YouTube show, and a content series on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Here's why. Either you love the Yankees so much and you start your Yankee show. Let me give you the new one. This is the next one. Hey everybody, it's Mike Playa. Stuck at the Corona thing. My ticket business isn't working right now. So I'm starting this podcast about, you know, Yankee talk with Mike Playa. Grew up a Yankees fan in Long Island. All right, now let's talk about free agency. I'm really worried, and let's talk about our rotation. I'm really worried about J.A. Hop. Either that, you're that guy or girl because you love the Yankees, or you've always wanted to learn how to, and you start a format called the journey of becoming that person, and now you're documenting. You're either a fan and have expertise in the Yankees because you love it, or you're documenting the journey of becoming something you wish you were, and those two formats cover every fucker that's watching this episode of Tea with Gary Vee. I want no fucking excuses. Enough of worrying about what people fucking worry about. Let's create content.
All right, that's brilliant, Gary. Appreciate you, brother.
Love you more. See ya.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted comment goes to Daryl364. Daryl says, "One of the best. I have been listening to Gary for a few years now and always get inspired to do more. Growing up, I was terrible in school, yet always had a niche for creating business. Over the last year and a half, I have saved up enough money to go all in on my jerky business and quit my full-time management job. So thank you for inspiring many as you do daily. Make sure you send in your review for a chance to be featured next."